Welcome to the Candy Valentino Show, the podcast for founders, investors, and entrepreneurs, where we have honest conversations about what it takes to grow your business, build more wealth, and create financial freedom.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Candy Valentino Show. Thank you so much for tuning in and spending this time with me today. I know that you could be doing anything right now, so I am grateful that you are spending this time listening or watching, depending on what it is that you're doing. And today is a very special episode because it's not every day that you get to interview your dad. And that's what I got to do. So in this episode, you're going to see some tears, you're going to see some laughter as we share not only just his background and his journey and how he kind of overcame the childhood that he had and got into entrepreneurship and the lessons that he learned from his father along the way and about investing and being a dad as a teenager, but we also unpack what it is that you could do in your life right now to create more of a rich life. You hear me talk about that on the show, that it's not just the accumulation of what we earn and what we make and the assets that we acquire, but it is what we do with it that matters. And we really go deep on this topic on the show. So let's go ahead and get into the episode as I introduce you for the very first time to my dad, Clay. All right, guys. So in just a minute, I'm going to have the absolute pleasure of interviewing my dad. Have you ever seen those Facebook ads that tell you, buy a book and ask your parents these 20 or 40 questions? Well, I thought, rather than putting it in a book, how about we document it here on video so that we can put it on the podcast and share it with all of you, because all of you know how important my dad has been in my life and what a hero he has been to me. And I talk about him in my first book, he's in my second book, and he's here with us today. So thanks so much for joining us, Dad.
Thank you for having me.
And we should probably tell them that this is a little uneasy for you.
Yeah, I'm not in a celebrity spotlight very much.
So as much as I am on front of camera with you guys, it honestly took me quite some time for my dad to do this. I wasn't quite sure that he would. So thanks for doing this. Yep. I think it's really important for everyone that's listening to just hear a little bit about your journey, because I think sometimes people see us in a certain way and they don't necessarily know like how we started or what we've been through and some of the challenges that we've gone through. So maybe we just start way back in the beginning. I'd love to know, just for you to share, like, what was your childhood like when you were growing up?
Childhood was tough. I mean, there was a big family, 13 of us, 9 boys, you know, and
9 boys, 4 girls.
Yep. And my dad worked 2 jobs. You know, I worked with my dad when I was a young teen. Every day I'd get up with him at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. My dad had a sanitation business, and he would start his day at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. I'd go with him, and I was like 13, 14 years old, come home, go to school, come home from school, go back out of the sanitation truck at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and then tomorrow morning, repeat it over and over. But I was pretty much a clone of my dad compared to my brothers. It was tough, but, it was... Back in the day, this is what it was. I mean, we had it tough, but there was other families that had it tougher than us. But my dad provided for us all, and, with some challenges, but we worked through them all. And, I wouldn't have changed it, for where I am today. I wouldn't have changed none of it.
So you said 2 jobs, sanitation. I always knew he was a garbage man. What else?
And my dad would come home, and he worked at a golf station.
Gas station?
Gulf's gas station. Oh, okay. Back in the day when they had those. He'd start there at 8 o'clock in the morning and work till 4 o'clock in the afternoon, come home, eat, and we'd be out on the truck till 10:30 at night or so, come home, get ready, go start the day over again tomorrow. And he did that 7 days a week. My dad never took a vacation in his life. I've only known him to miss sleeping in his bed 1 time. And so...
Never left the state of Pennsylvania, right?
1 time he drove to New York to pick up a truck for a guy that I also worked for. When I was around 12, 13, I worked for a guy on a sanitation truck making $32.50 a week, 6 days a week.
Quite a different time.
Is what I got paid. But yeah, my dad worked two jobs his whole life.
Grandma didn't work.
No,
my mom never drove.
My mom never drove.
13 kids.
13 kids, stay-at-home mom.
And lost four along the way.
Well, two died young, two-year-old and a 2 month and a two-year-old. And my brother Bob passed at 16 from an accident. So that it was 10 of us, you know, but that's some brothers passed along the way. But
what do you think it is? Because you said you think of all of your other brothers, you said that you feel like you're a clone of your dad. What do you think? Because we often talk about on the show, like environment as opposed to experience and how you're raised and all of this. So you would think you're dead middle, 13 kids. What do you think was it that was either about you that was different, or how was your experience different? Because if we're being honest, some of your brothers never have done anything.
Correct.
Some have been in just and out of jail. Some just got by. Some on government assistance their whole life.
Just
so what is it, do you think, that was different?
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
I just looked at my dad, you know, I always wanted to be, you know, have my dad proud of me. And I think today, if he was to see me, he would be proud. And I just, you know, always wanted to do my best. And, you know, I just always wanted to do the best I could and provide the best I could and, you know, treat everybody fair. And, you know, I always worked alongside my dad the whole time.
I know what it's like to always want to make your dad proud. I think that a lot of people feel that same way. And maybe for people who are listening that they're like, wow, I really wish I had a dad to look up to, right? Because there's a lot of people that their dads took off or weren't involved or, you know, didn't do the right thing. And here they are trying to find their way. Is there anything maybe you could share for everyone listening that maybe doesn't have that father figure that you can just share a piece of advice or something with them?
Well, I mean, I know there's a lot of single parent families out there today, you know, and if you, the ones who still have a father in their life, you know, try to follow his footsteps because he did everything he could to try to provide for you the best he could. And if you don't have a father, I know your mother's trying to do the best she can with what she has to work with, you know, just try to be the best person you can with or without a dad. And, you know, have respect for the parent you do have and be grateful for the parent that you still have in your life.
Yeah, that's good advice. Yeah. It's like almost become the person that you wish you had.
Yes.
If you don't have that person in your life. Speaking of dads, you know, this is a question I was kind of always curious about asking you. 19 years old, 18 years old, I believe, right? You got married because you found out you were going to be having me.
19, we got married, had you at 20. Yeah.
What was it like, teenage parent, finding out that you're going to now be a father? Maybe take us through what that felt like. And then also just how would you describe fatherhood in general, what that process has been like?
Well, I mean, it was tough. You know, I moved out of the house when I was 18 years old. Whatever I fit in the backseat of a Camaro is all I had to my name. Got married at 19. You came at 20 when I was 20 years old. Yeah, there were struggles. You know, had to work from sun up to sundown to provide. You know, because I hadn't, at that moment, I had nothing, you know, maybe $100 in my pocket and that was it and whatever I made from payday to payday. But, you know, you work through those challenges and you know, do the best you can. And unfortunately, there's a lot of things you miss along the way, you know, you growing up and sports activities and stuff that you wish you could have been there, but you have to provide and you have to weigh the pros and cons. What do you weigh? What do you give up? And sometimes I sit back and wish some of the stuff I gave up, I didn't. But
like what?
You know, well, just being at more functions, family functions, vacationing and stuff that we could have did. But you got a way, you know, put a roof over your head or, you know, I had a business growing at the time. You know, when I started the business in 1983, I went to rent a garage off of a local lady in town, Stella Morgan. I had $200 in my name. That's it. and she requested $450 rent. And I said, you know, I gave her $200 and said, I'll clean the place out. And that's how it got started. And, but, you know, through those years of growing the business, you sacrifice a lot of family stuff that you can't go back and fix, you know. So you just try to do best you can now for the times you missed.
Well, I think we're making up for that now.
I think we are too.
And I think for any, this is obviously a lot of entrepreneurs listening. Is there something maybe you would say, just that piece of advice that maybe to find more balance, if you had to do it all over again, is there something that maybe you could share that you would have done a little differently?
Yeah, if I had to do it all over again, yeah, I would have put off the side a lot of stuff that I was, you know, I always say chasing the dollar. You know, after a while, the game's over. You lose everything that you chase that dollar, but you lost all the important stuff in life. You know, I step back now thinking, you know, I shouldn't have chased the dollar so much and enjoyed some of the life that, you know, you had at the time. Mm-hmm. But I definitely encourage anybody that's grown a business, don't forget the family, don't forget to enjoy life because it's short.
Mm-hmm. Does it feel like, I know you've said this to me, but I wanted to, I'm asking it to you so you to share. Do you feel like it goes faster? And at what point, if you look back, that you were like, whoa, time really sped up here?
I remember in my mid-20s, my dad saying, you know, enjoy life while you can. He said, time's going to fly so fast. And I always thought, like, what are you talking about? You know, not knowing it's only 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, 365 days in a year. How's it going to be faster? And now I realize, here I am now, you know, 65, how fast time went and what little time is left. Mm-hmm. So enjoy what you have.
That's great advice. Talking about that. And maybe looking back, teeing off of what you already said, are there any regrets when you look back that you think of a moment or a decision or a challenge that you would have handled differently? Or do you have any regrets at this point or just things that you would have done differently aside from what you've already shared?
I sit back and think sometimes because, like, as far as education, you know, I dropped out of ninth grade. I sit back and think sometimes I probably should have finished up high school and graduated. Would have made a different career change for me? Probably not, because I was never college material, was never going to be that. I'm glad I took the path that I did to get where I'm at today, you know, but that's maybe one of the small regrets I had of not, you know, but, and, you know, just didn't enjoy as much life as I would like to have done.
Yeah. And you said about the path that you took, you're glad that you did. And I, just my opinion, I don't think having a high school diploma would have changed anything at all.
Nah,
I think
it would not have helped me.
The level of intellect that you have and common sense and finding your way through challenges and adversity, like, I don't think three more years of school would have taught you that. But just to unpack your path a little bit, let's take people through. You started a business with $200 in your pocket. Uh-huh. If they read my book, they kind of know a little bit. They've already heard about Stella Morgan because I talk about her in the book. Yeah. But let's talk about starting the auto mechanic shop. How many years did you have that? You know, the big contract that you took on with RPS that became FedEx. And then what you do today, because you, quote, retired. But I always say entrepreneurs never really retire. They always have their hands in stuff. So how have you been able to navigate just figuring it out and making money throughout the last 40 years when you started with $200 in your pocket?
This is when I started a repair shop. You know, I...
Self-taught, right?
Self-taught. Never took 1 minute of training in school. Figured everything out myself. It was the business. Like, the business, if you broke down, I towed your car in. I fixed your car. I wrote your invoice. I deposited your check myself. Mm-hmm. It was done by myself. I've done the whole business myself my whole life.
He obviously doesn't count me working at 6 through 12 in the office. Yeah,
she filled in the spaces with the customers, amused the customers when they came in.
That's right.
But RPS came along in 86 looking for someone to do some of their work. So we did the general public from eight in the morning to six in the afternoon. Then we did FedEx, at that time it was RPS, until like 6 to 10 o'clock at night. And then in 94, I sold that and went solely with, now it changed to FedEx Ground, And for about 35 years, I've done nothing but FedEx ground maintenance on their
diesel
trucks.
Diesel mechanic. So basically
diesel mechanic.
Shifted from auto mechanic to diesel mechanic.
Diesel mechanic. Did everything on the trucks from bumper to bumper. A truck would come in from the day one. I put the stickers on myself, did all the repairs. Some of them trucks, when we retired them, had over 600,000 miles on them. And I did it literally every nut and bolt on those trucks from start to finish, the whole life of the vehicle.
You have what we call controlitis that you have to do it all yourself, start to finish.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember so many times throughout just being a teen, I was like, Dad, you need to hire people. We need to do this. Yeah. And you were like, nope, because I know if I do it myself, it gets done right.
I got friends back, Rick and Mike back home. I'm building a retaining wall, a 400 block. And they said, well, come help you. No, because you will have it crooked. I don't want it that way. I'll do it myself.
You'd rather take longer, do it yourself.
And I know it's done right.
Because I know it's so frustrating for you. You're like, oh, that person helped me. You got it done in half the time, but it's not done right.
Exactly. Yeah. I like to do it myself.
If there was one thing that you would want me to remember, whether I'm watching this in 50 years from now or whatever time it is there just one thing that you would want me to remember?
Oh, yeah. I mean, how proud I am of you. How far you came, you know, and what you've done with your life and how you helped so many other people along the way, I've been told. Yeah, that's one thing I always want you to remember from me, how proud I am of you.
Thank you. Sorry, I wasn't ready for that. Dad hasn't always been a man of a lot of words. Yeah. So when you say them, they hit hard. But thank you. Like you, I just always wanted to make my dad proud.
You have. Very proud of you.
While we're speaking of advice, is there something from either your father or your grandfather that you have heard along your life? And did you ever meet your grandfather?
No, he passed when I was just little.
Okay. Both of them?
Yeah.
Passed? Okay, so you never met them. Is there maybe one piece of advice that Pap gave you along the way or some example that he set that you feel like you still carry with you?
Yeah. I mean, my dad, you know, always treated everybody with, equal, with respect, you know. Treat people the way you want to be treated, you know, with respect and dignity. And I've always done that my whole life, you know, just always treat people the way I want someone to treat me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just been my motto and this is what I've done.
You know, I never knew that was like what you carried along. So it's so ironic that when I started my first business, you know what our like great customer culture rule was? Treat other people better than you want to be treated. Like at 19, you don't really like you, same thing. We don't have it all figured out. So that was literally what hung back in the break room because, you know, I didn't know anything else. So that's because interesting nowadays, it's like the customer culture that you create has all these steps and you build them all out. But really, if you just make it more simple, it's probably
absolutely
easier to understand.
Make it easy.
Yeah, exactly. What's one thing you're looking forward to? Obviously, I feel like you shared that you feel like there's a few things now you're trying to enjoy more and trying to do more and spend more time with family and friends and do things. What's one thing that you're still like, oh, this is going to be so exciting or that you're looking forward to doing? Or,
I mean, there's some things I do want to travel and see some, do some things yet.
Cause you didn't do a lot of traveling either when I was young.
No, we just, like I said, didn't have the means, the funding to go do it. I think, was about the extent of it, but the, there's some things I want to go see yet, things I want to do yet. Spend more time out here with you. Just enjoy what time's left because it's going to go fast.
Mm-hmm. What's one place if you were like, this would be cool to go to, is there one place that pops into your mind that you haven't seen yet? Because I know you've done a lot on the motorcycle, like a lot within the U.S.
Yes.
Is there one place you haven't been or somewhere out of the U.S.?
When I was thinking about retiring, like, 10 years ago before the heart attack, one of my crazy ideas was just jump in a truck with whatever I had, go to a ranch somewhere, beat on the door, say, buddy, I'll be your ranch hand for the next 3 months, 6 months, put a roof over my head and feed me, I want to ride the horses. I want to do whatever.
That'd be cool.
I'll fix your tractor. And if he didn't need me, I'd go down to the next ranch and beat on that door and do the same thing
cool.
for no cost. Just to experience that. I know most people would say I'm nuts, but that would just be, you know, something I thought I was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, had the heart attack 10 years ago. So that's kind of like off the bucket list now. But no, I just travel around. I like to maybe get to Hawaii one day, kind of check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Just explore, see what I could see.
Well, if anyone's watching or listening and you have a ranch that you need an elderly ranch hand, it's not quite like it was 10 years ago. You're a little beat up now between the heart attack and the bike wreck and the wreck
problems.
We were in.
Yeah. We've got a few aches and pains and broken bones since that. But no, it's still, I just thought it'd be cool to give back to some ranch. You know, because we know all ranchers have trouble, you know, with today's society, with everything. But just give something back to somebody, you know, don't expect nothing in return.
Yeah. What's some of, I obviously got you into a lot of projects over my life, between flips and businesses and renovations. If you had to just kind of look back at one of the ones that was either fun or maybe it was the most challenging, what kind of pops into your mind is something that we've done together? Because most of the things we do together, we're not the type to like go and travel. Well, maybe as of recently, but typically we aren't. The things that we do together is like we work on projects together.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what's one of the like projects that maybe pops into your mind that you like the most?
I'd say, you know, when we did the shelter, when you did the shelter and helped, you know, do that building, you know, that was a pretty good project.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some of the houses, you know, coming out here and work on some of the houses, you know, I don't bother me at all. I kind of like enjoy, you know, the labor part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're more in the front scenes. I'm the guy from behind, which that's okay. That's the way I like it. No, we've had some good, you know, projects we worked on.
I thought you were going to say the farm.
Yeah, farm was another
one.
Mm-hmm. The farm was another one.
Because you got to use your machines and tear down buildings.
Demo the building and stuff and help renovate the farm. Yeah, that was good. Yeah. It came a long way from what it was. You know,
definitely.
But that was another. Both of those projects were good ones.
They were good. Yeah, it's interesting that the things we look back on that we enjoyed the most, that were actually the most amount of work, were the ones that didn't benefit us in the least.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And isn't it interesting about life? Like, if you found that, like, the jobs that maybe you did for FedEx that were, like, a massive paycheck as opposed to, like, the little old lady that you helped quietly, because I know you do that, that, you know, you went and rescued, she had a bat in her attic, and you got up on a ladder and rescued her. Like, those little things... Is there a way, because I know that that's the way you and I are wired, but for the people that aren't, is there anything that we could share that's like, why that is? Like, why is it that it always feels better to do something for someone else than it does yourself?
Yeah, well, it feels better to give something back to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, helping Shelby get the bat out of her attic, you know, whether I'm helping somebody change a flat tire along the road or did something for somebody at no cost, you know, to see their face, how they expression, how they're grateful that you did something for them and you didn't expect nothing in return.
Yeah.
You know, I still do that to this day. I'll, you know, help somebody and I don't expect stuff in return.
Yeah.
You know, I just enjoy helping people that need some help.
Yeah. It's weird too, how it always feels better. Like if I'm ever in a funk or in a bad mood or whatever, even just the simplest thing of like picking up someone's Starbucks behind me or like swiping my card at the grocery store for like the people that were in front of me or whatever. It just like automatically shifts.
Yeah.
You know, now that I know what I know about the brain, I understand why that is, but it's just interesting that it just works. I think that so often we're stuck on the hamster wheel of being an entrepreneur, like you said, chasing a dollar, that sometimes we forget that what matters actually most doesn't cost
anything.
It's
not the dollar.
Yeah. So while we're talking about all the things that we're doing that really don't benefit us, I'm curious maybe how your definition, you know, we talk a lot about business and wealth and money and investing on the show. I'm just curious to learn, like, as opposed to 25 and 45 and 65, what your definition of wealth is today. If I said to you, Dad, what does wealth mean to you today in your life? How would you define that word?
I know wealth is material things you have gathered up through your life, whether it's real estate or investments and stuff. But, you know, the real wealth is what you get out of life while you're here. and what you do with it. I did okay for myself, you know, through life, but, you know, it comes a cost what you lost doing that wealth. But, you know, I would enjoy the things along the way to where you got your wealth.
It's like life is the true wealth, right?
Yeah, life is the true wealth.
Yeah, it's good. And the other thing I always ask everyone that I have on the show is, knowing what you know now, if you woke up tomorrow and everything that you know you get to keep, but the money in your bank account, anything that you own, the contractors that you know, the contacts in your phone, everything's gone. Nobody knows who you are. They're not going to pick up your phone. The only thing you get to keep is the knowledge that you've acquired throughout your life. And your mortgage is due. You need to put food on the table for yourself, whatever. Feed Miko. What are some of the first things you would start doing in order to start building some money back?
Probably some of the first things I would try to do is reinvest in some sort of piece of real estate that would contribute back to me, where I'd make some money off of it and just build from that point. I know it'd be tough starting over, but I did it once when I didn't have no money. When I bought my first house, I'm like, oh man, I don't know if this is ever going to work, but it did. And then I bought the next one and the next one and built the storage units. But I would probably try to build the first smallest piece of real estate that I could afford at that moment to invest into my second one, something to get a quick revenue turning over to get income coming back in, which, you know, with just day and age would be tough, but, you know,
that's what you do. It's interesting. You said something that you've always said to me, that you were worried even when you were buying properties, if it would work out. And as I was flipping so many properties along the way, you would always say to me, I don't know if it's going to work out. You might've got over your head on this one. And they always work out.
It works out. Yes.
I feel like I've been slightly more fearless than you when it comes to investing and in businesses and stuff. But you have had to do more work to get over that fear. So if somebody's listening is like, oh my gosh, I feel the exact same thing that he's saying, I don't know how I could do that. Like, what do I know? Is there anything you can share of like what you've had to fix in your mind to like, okay, no, this will work out. This is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, when I bought the first piece of property, you know, and I'm like, you know, it came, I was fortunate enough. It came with two renters that came with it and it worked out. But then I started buying foreclosed homes back in 2008 and 10, you know, foreclosed ones, and just taking a shot in the dark and trying to, you know, rehab them, put renters in them to get it going. But now if you, you know, stay true, stay to your goals, it will work out. There might be some bumps in the road along the way, but it will work out. Just got to focus on that one thing and just, you know, stay with it.
When we talk about fear, I know this wasn't on the questions that I'd kind of given you, but it made me think, is there any time when you look back, whether it was a house or finding out you were going to be a dad or starting that business with a couple hundred bucks in your pocket, was there any time that you were like, holy crap, was I scared? Or were there a bunch of those along the way?
Oh, there was, no, there's no doubt. They were along the way.
Yeah.
Built the storage sheds. You know, I built those from scratch. You know, I dug the ditches, I poured the concrete, put up the fence. I'm like, oh man, I hope this works out. And I had a mortgage on those. And that didn't meet the mortgage for almost the first 2 years. You know, I'm like, oh man, I'm taking it out of my pocket to make the mortgage. You know, to pay for it. I'm like, is this ever going to work out? You know, but unfortunately it did. It took a little while to get it rolling. But yeah, it was a great investment. But yeah, there's always anybody that's going to do any type of business is going to have some sort of, you know, scare, or is this going to work out, or have second thoughts of it. But just stick with it. You know, be true to yourself and your commitment, and I think it'll work. Work for us.
It's always playing the long game.
Yeah,
that's what I've always said.
Yeah,
you know, it's like being able to feel the fear, acknowledge the fear, but do it anyways.
Yeah.
Because it's like on the other side of that. Otherwise, the alternative is if you want to feel safe, stay exactly where you are.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Yeah. That's an option. Okay. Yeah. But if you want to grow, if you want to evolve, if you want to do something bigger, yeah. you're always going to have that fear.
Absolutely.
And I've always felt like it's more of a, instead of like a stop sign, it's more of a compass. Because most of the things, not all of them, but most of the things that I've been afraid of have worked out to my advantage.
Absolutely.
Even the horrible things like going through a divorce or what, like moving across the country, not knowing anybody, like so afraid of doing those things, but they end up being what you needed more than you could realize.
Yes, yes. It will. Yes, you stay true to your thoughts and your focus on what things you want in life, you know, it'll work out, you know, I mean. You just got to stick with your program and, you know, live by what your means are.
Stay true to your values, really, too. Absolutely. Is what it's been. And that's what it seems like you said from Grandpap the whole way on that you've kind of stuck through. Is there anything that maybe he, because the investing thing was definitely not something that he did.
No. Nah.
So where did that come from? Do you remember where? I mean, I think in 2003, I bought that foreclosure a couple doors up the street. Was before you even bought that first rental property. Remember, for $23,000 that you had to put the floor joists in?
Well, I think what you bought was, I think it was called the Livingston House. Yeah, that house there was the first, I think the first one you bought. First one I bought was the old Sibs candy store in town.
Yeah, five years later, I think.
That was right around 2004.
It was a couple years
somewhere later. Somewhere in 2004, right? I got divorced. Yeah, I bought that house, but that's one I bought it because it came with two renters. I knew it would make the mortgage, plus I'd make a profit off of it. And I saved up that profit to buy the next house. Mm-hmm. And then still to this day, I take no profits from none of my rentals. My storage units, I don't take no funds from it. I just let it go. And I'll use that money to invest in the next property. Mm-hmm. Let my money work for me to keep buying the next investment and over.
Rinse and repeat.
Right. Yep. Rent and repeat. Yeah. Yep.
Is there anything else you want to add or say before we wrap?
No, that's pretty much my life history, you know, in a basket. You know, it's not that exciting, but it works for me.
Yeah.
You know, I think everybody has a unique situation out there, but just... stick with it, you know. There's going to be some nervous bumps along the way, but, you know, stick with your plan and your goals. Stay true to yourself, everybody around you, and I think it'll work out.
Well, thanks for doing this. I know this isn't your forte, and I know this probably isn't something that a daughter shares with a dad, but I'm so proud of you, too.
Thank you.
I'm proud to be your daughter, and just how you are with people and how you show up obviously has taught me a lot. And I remember being younger that everyone would feel bad for me being at the garage every day after school, but it taught me such a life lesson of hard work and fortitude and resolve. And I feel that those 10 years that we spent together there is really why I am who I am today. Yeah. So I just want to thank you for not giving up on your dreams and not giving up on me.
No, I'd never do that.
Along the way. Yeah. So thanks for doing this. Yeah. Thanks for joining us. And I love you.
Yeah, I love you too, babe. Thanks for having me.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this episode. And if there was something that you loved or you had a specific takeaway, share it and tag me at Candy Valentino. And if you haven't yet, grab your copy of Wealth Habits everywhere books are sold. And for upcoming events or ways to stay connected, head over to candyvalentino.com. That's all for today. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. We'll see you next time.